Buenos dias from Greenway Parks. This is the Rorschach Argentina update from the 30th of April, 2026. A quick summary of what's going down in Argentina. We start this week with a fresh blow to your commute. On the 1st of May, travel costs in the Buenos Aires metro area jumped by over 5%. If you're taking a bus in the city, the shortest trip now starts at 750 pesos, about 50 cents in U.S. dollars, while in the province, that same distance will cost you over 900 pesos, about 60 cents. Subte rides are also getting pricier, reaching nearly 1,500 pesos, a little over a dollar, for a single trip. Officials say the hike is part of a monthly adjustment plan to keep up with inflation and rising fuel costs. As we mentioned last week, the fight over university funding is only getting more intense. National university workers are on a week-long strike because the government has not implemented the funding law that Congress passed last year. While a court recently ordered the executive branch to raise salaries and scholarships immediately, the government has ignored the ruling. Instead, the Human Capital Ministry told university rectors to find alternative methods to teach classes and warned they need to make sure professors who aren't striking can still work. In a move that's making waves across the country's newsrooms, the government has effectively kicked the press out of Casa Rosada, the official seat of the Argentine national government, after two journalists from the TNA network used smart glasses to film corridors in the presidential palace. The administration filed a criminal complaint for espionage. They didn't stop there. The officials blocked the fingerprint access of all 50 accredited reporters and closed the press room indefinitely. While the journalists say the areas they filmed are open to the public on school tours, President Milei cheered the move on social media, using an acronym that translates to, "We don't hate journalists enough." While the government battles with the press over secrets, they just lost a high-ranking official, Carlos Frugoni, the Secretary of Infrastructure Coordination, resigned this week after a journalistic investigation found 7 apartments in Miami that he never declared. Frugoni admitted he made a mistake by not registering the Florida properties with the local tax agency. He was a key figure in managing transport and public works, but the economy minister accepted his resignation immediately as the courts opened a case for illicit enrichment. Speaking of the administration's goals, President Milei took the stage at a high-profile gala this week to tell everyone that the worst has passed, even though new data shows that salaries have dropped 20% since 2018, the worst performance in Latin America. The president insists the economy is starting to recover. He blamed the opposition and the media for sabotaging his program and causing the recent spike in inflation. He also reminded the audience that as the lowest paid president in the Americas, he is the public worker suffering the most from the wage freeze. In a more concrete step toward his economic plan, Luis Caputo, the economy minister, says the government expects to pocket $2 billion from privatizations by the end of the year. Plan includes selling off state companies like the water utility, ISA, and the electricity giant, Transener. They are also looking to hand over the keys to thousands of kilometers of national highways to private operators. If you were in the Palermo neighborhood this weekend, you definitely heard the roar of engines. 500,000 fans turned out to watch Franco Colapinto, the 22-year-old F1 star, taking 2 historic cars through the streets. He drove a 2012 Lotus and even a replica of the legendary Silver Arrow used by Juan Manuel Fangio, a renowned Argentine racing driver in the 50s. The crowd was so massive that people started lining up at 5 in the morning just to get a glimpse. Colapinto told the fans that the incredible support shows the world that Argentina deserves to host a Grand Prix again. The roar of those Formula One engines wasn't the only major cultural event drawing crowds this week. The 50th Buenos Aires Book Fair opened its doors, and the mood is anything but quiet. The inauguration was a tense affair, with the audience booing the cultural secretary when he praised the government's profound transformation. Local authors used the opening debate to warn about the degradation of public language and how budget cuts are hurting the publishing industry. If you want to check it out yourself, the fair runs through the 11th of May at the La Rural Fairgrounds. It's open from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. during the week and opens an hour earlier on weekends. General admission is 8,000 pesos, about $6, from Monday through Thursday, and 12,000 pesos, less than $9, on weekends. In other news, Argentine police just finished a massive crackdown on child abuse. In an operation coordinated in Buenos Aires, authorities from 16 countries carried out hundreds of raids simultaneously. In Argentina, police arrested 26 people across 17 provinces. Investigators used digital tools to track networks sharing abusive material online. They say the next step is checking seized computers to see if the suspects were also involved in carrying out these crimes themselves. In the wake of that massive digital investigation, the government is facing its own legal battle over the environment. The federal court in the southern Santa Cruz province has just thrown a wrench in the plans to overhaul the Glacier Protection Law. A judge blocked the new changes, which would have handed power to provinces to decide which icy areas can be used for mining or drilling. The court says lowering environmental protections would cause irreversible damage to the water supply. This is the first of many legal challenges expected from environmental groups. Back at the government house, President Milei hosted the billionaire investor Peter Thiel at the Casa Rosada this week. They reportedly spent hours talking about the culture war and how to make sure libertarian ideas last for a long term. Thiel, who co-founded PayPal, is reportedly looking to stay in the country for a few months and might be scouting for real estate. Word is he just bought a $12 million mansion in the exclusive Palermo Chico neighborhood. On the energy front, the government is scrambling to buy natural gas for the winter. With Trump's war in the Middle East squeezing global supplies, Argentina is looking for 20 shipments of liquefied natural gas to keep the heaters running through September. While local gas production in the Vaca Muerta Shoal oil field is growing, it's not yet enough to cover the peak winter demand. Plus Petrol did announce a $12 billion investment to speed up production in the south, but that won't help with the bills this season. It might seem like a lot of moving parts, from energy shortages to billionaire visits, and for expats trying to make sense of the ideological shift behind these moves, there's a great read this week. Writing for the Buenos Aires Herald in English, Adrian Genesier explores the risk of the government's radical disruption turning into rigid dogma. He argues that while the president's free market principles are clear, the movement risks ignoring economic reality and treating ideology like a fixed script that can't be questioned. Check out the link of his full piece in the show notes. To wrap up with some news from the screen, Netflix has officially started filming El Sobrino, or The Nephew. It stars Leonardo Sbaraglia as a world-famous pianist who discovers his young nephew might actually be more talented than he is. This is a big deal for local film buffs because it's the latest project for Damian Cifron, the director behind the Oscar-nominated Wild Tales and the popular TV series Los Simuladores. While his long-awaited movie version of Los Simuladores is still on hold, this new dramedy is already filming in the suburbs of Buenos Aires. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Nos vemos la próxima semana.